Hello and welcome to Betch Slapped. I'm Aileen.
And I'm Jordana.
Okay, so has anything happened to you in your life, Jordana, recently in the last 2 weeks, well, I guess?
We're back off. We're fresh off of President's Day weekend, yeah, right?
Fresh as fuck. Fresh. What did you do? Off. Nothing?
I saw a magic show, as I was telling you about before, Steve Cohen.
It was fancy magic.
Do you know how you pronounce the name of this hotel? It's L-O-T-T-E. It's like a fancy Midtown hotel.
Lottie.
I keep wanting to say it, but you know I'm very... I wasn't sure. I'm like very, very bad at pronouncing things.
Lottie. I think it's Lottie.
I don't know. It's like very embarrassing for me. I can't say it.
Well, should we Google it later?
We should.
Okay. So anyway, magic was good.
I went to see the magic there. It was cool. I don't believe in magic. There are illusions, but
it's an illusion.
It's a cool illusion. Here's the thing. It's like you can sit there trying to figure out how they do the magic.
I love that.
But like, it's almost like I know that there's a trick. So it's like I don't need to figure out exactly how. I don't believe in like this isn't Harry Potter. I don't believe in like real magic. So
yeah. Like, well, the thing about there's nothing I hate more when I accidentally figure it out, and then everything.
Right,
it's
you like want to ruin it for
awful.
Yourself. Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, I know what you're doing. I saw you hide the thing. I saw you hide the card. And now everything is just ruined. And I'm like, this is a waste of my time.
I mean, that's also a bad magician if you can figure it out.
I think I was at an angle in which I wasn't supposed to be.
Did you call them out?
No, embarrassing. That's bad magic etiquette.
Yeah, it's like in, you remember Love on Netflix when he takes her to the magic show?
Yeah, yeah. No, I just feel like that's bad magic etiquette. Like, I think we had a magician come to our office and I was on the side and I saw him do something.
Right.
And I was like, well, now I'm fucking annoyed and you're a fraud.
He must not have been that good. But it's funny because like, so this magician, Steve Cohen, goes to, he's like from Chappaqua and he went to Cornell.
Oh my God.
Right.
What?
His name is
like
Steve Cohen.
Basic bitch.
Right.
Yeah.
So which is funny. I'm like imagining like when he's up there, dude, he's like 50, but like imagining like someone we know just like being this like super like
a
famous
magician.
Magic person who does, he's like done magic shows for like Warren Buffett and like all, he's like the millionaire's magician, which means it's like pretentious.
Yeah. I love that. I want to go.
Yeah.
Now.
You can buy yourself a $22 martini downstairs.
Speaking of pretentious people, Karl Lagerfeld died this morning.
Oh my God.
You didn't know?
I didn't even see that.
It's so funny. But I mean,
he's like relatively young.
85.
Right? He's 85. Mm-hmm.
He died at 85. So
wow.
A bunch of people posted his pretentious quotes.
Interesting.
All over the internet.
I feel like he was not a great guy. No, not to speak ill.
Yeah. Like everybody, the thing is like he definitely hated fat people. And
I think he hated a lot of people. I think he was also like kind of anti-Semitic.
Yeah. He hated a lot of people. There was this one quote by him that was like, elegance is physical. A woman needs to be elegant when she's naked. Otherwise, she won't be elegant when she's clothed. I'm like, all right. So you're saying she just needs to be skinny.
Like, yeah, he's definitely like, of an era of a different train of thought.
But everyone forgets all of that and posts, you know, all the good qualities about him, which is fine. You know, you want to remember the good in people. Mm-hmm. And so RIP.
Yeah, RIP. I'm not like super upset about this one. But
other things. So Sammy and I went off on Stormy World, mostly Sammy. So in further news, the Kardashians have not calmed down. Kim, Khloe, and Kylie are planning to market products using their children. So they're trademarking their names.
So Chris is planning on marketing products using the kids' names.
Yeah. Well,
you know, like Kourtney is not sitting there like trying to think of a new business
Kourtney's
ventures.
Well, Kourtney's not one of them.
She's
so
not.
Because they Kim, Khloe, and Kylie have like unique names. So this isn't an article. And at the end, it said that neither Rob nor Kourtney have filed any of their children's names. Yeah, because none of their children's names are fucking like, well, I guess Rob's kid's name is Dream, but Chris is probably like, no one's buying shit from Dream.
No one's buying that. I feel like that would make like an interesting kind of like scent.
No one is, but that like probably exists. A and B. Okay, so Kim has North. She has Chicago.
Can you trademark the Northwest?
Northwest, Chicago.
Northwest
and
Airlines.
Saint.
Yes.
Chloe has True.
Right.
And Kylie obviously has Stormy, and she's also trademarking Stormy World. And so they're not slowing down.
They're so annoying.
I mean, they're beyond. But
right. But it's also like what you have to remember is that it's not, I don't even think it's really them. It's like whoever's like handling their businesses.
Yeah.
It's like Kylie again, like I feel like Kylie just lives in a world where she just like prances around like not even knowing what's going on. I have just a sneaking suspicion
she was like, I want to do more for Stormy World. Like, I loved Stormy World. Stormy World is amazing. And then her like business people were like, okay, this is a great opportunity. Let's definitely capitalize on Stormy World.
Right.
It can actually be an amusement park.
Ugh. I guess it's possible.
Of giant bobbleheads of her child, which are so disturbing. I hope it's something for the good. I hope that they bring... maybe it's a traveling fair for children in need. Like, that would be great.
That doesn't sound
never
very on brand.
Gonna happen.
That doesn't sound.
you're saying the Kardashian Jenner brand doesn't sound. That doesn't sound in brand with a traveling carnival that
a
helps
traveling
kids
for charity.
Yeah.
No.
Nope.
No. Yeah.
So we'll stay tuned to see what other crazy shit. But basically, they're solidifying the empire. The kids are the next generation. It's like royalty, but like. Trashy royalty. There was this thing. So did you see how Kim Kardashian wore this like black dress that like just covered her tits?
Yeah, there was like with the bands. It looked very like uncomfortable.
It looked like she wore her like you know when you accidentally put on your shirt backwards and you're like, yeah, I'm really feeling this look. Right. And you keep it on that way. I've had a shirt
I didn't think it was like flattering at all.
Yeah, because her boobs were spilling over under and below.
I think it looked very awkward. But like I guess need a smaller chest. She can try it, so why not?
Well, it was a vintage dress, and like it's like in the past fashion runways. I forgot which designer. And there's this account called Diet Prada, and she like is known for calling out like the fashion industry for copying and doing all that stuff. So her thing is that she's been watched. So Fashion Nova, the brand, basically within an hour of Kim Kardashian wearing something, they'll have a replica for $20. Okay. And so this girl Diet Prada is always like, what is the deal? How is it possible that they can just get a dress out within 1 hour to sell that'll ship out fast. Like,
but they also work with them.
So the right. So what she knows, I don't think so.
I feel like Kylie used to wear fashion, Chloe also promoting some other shit.
Well, I know Cardi B does, but now like aggressively. So her thing is that she thinks that Kim will, when she knows what she's going to wear, she has a partnership with Fashion Nova,
right.
Tells them, and then makes money off of that.
Probably.
Isn't that insane?
I think that's like, I don't even think that's that like...
But it's kind of crazy.
Unethical. I think that's she's probably like, I'm capitalizing
unethical.
On my...
Here's why it's unethical, because she is capitalizing on a dress, like this couture dress that she's wearing.
Right.
You know, to bring her status up or to bring whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's... then making a replica of that designer's work.
Well, they're going to do it anyway. It's just going to take them more time to do it.
Okay, but...
Right?
So why... But... who cares? But then she's making a profit off of it. That's why I think it's kind of fucked up.
I guess
you
but
could
then,
say
but
that
then,
about
it,
anything.
Right. But
you
if it's that fucked up, then the designers won't want to work with her, right?
But and it's not it known. Like, it's not known. It's like not public if she does it. If she has a partnership with them, or do they have just some sort of in with?
Well,
the
I'm saying if
they, somebody
if
leaking what
if
she's wearing.
If that's found out, then like I assume publishers wouldn't want to work with her. It's a risk she's taking. It's all like a you know what I mean? Like I'm sure she's like. Whoever's, again, handling these deals.
I just feel like there's like a bigger retail conspiracy going on.
I guess, but that just means that we as consumers have to be smart about what we're
purchasing. That's the truth about everything, but no one is smart about anything. Everybody wants to dress like her. They don't care. If Fashion Nova is ripping off a designer, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to dress a little bit fancy, so they buy something cheaper.
Also, it's like everyone rips off everyone. It's kind of like the way that like the world works,
but
especially
it's crazy.
Yeah.
And everybody like these days doesn't have a sense of fashion anymore. It's let me buy Zara, H&M, Fashion Forever 21, which is a ripoff of something else. Everybody's walking around wearing the exact same thing. No one has a sense of style. Like when I was little, I would wear like ridiculous shit, but it was my sense of style, you
right.
know?
And yeah. Like, as someone who, I would say as someone who's like, doesn't have a refined sense of style, this doesn't bother me that much.
I wouldn't say it's refined.
But I'm just saying like in general, like what people are wearing doesn't matter to me that much. Or like what
I find
I'm,
it very what, annoying. I just wish that we could go back to a time where like we could just all wear like what represents our individuality instead of but like you can't really access and it's hard to access something that represents your individuality because everything is exactly the same.
It's also very expensive.
Exactly.
So so it's kind of like if people can buy these things at an affordable price and they don't have to be wasting all their money on like designer shit, but they want to look good. Like why is that so bad?
That's not, I'm not saying that's what's bad. I'm saying that there's no access to anything that's at all unique. Everybody's wearing the same exact shit.
What about thrift stores?
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I don't want, I don't, sometimes I'll buy something. I don't pre-owned, but that's why I rent everything.
No. Renting is helpful too.
Okay, but in real time, Kim literally just tweeted / Instagram storied about this exact conversation. Okay, I'm gonna read it verbatim to you guys. It's like 3 or 4 stories. Just stay, you know, have patience. It's devastating to see these fashion companies rip off designs that have taken blood, sweat, and tears of true designers who have put their all into their original ideas. I literally just said this. I've watched these companies profit off my husband's work for years, and now that it's also affecting designers who have been so generous to give me access to their beautiful works, I can no longer sit silent. Only 2 days ago, I was privileged enough to wear a one-of-a-kind vintage Mugler. Oh my God. I'm not couture, so Mugler dress. And in less than 24 hours, it was knocked off and thrown up on a site. This is exactly what we were just talking about. But it's not for sale. You have to sign up for a wait list because the dress hasn't even been made to sell yet. This is a way to get people to sign up for their mailing list and make people believe there is some kind of relationship between me and this fashion site. There is not. My relationships with designers are very important to me. It's taken me over a decade to build them, aka it took her her marriage to Kanye to build them. And I have a huge amount of respect for the amount of work that they have put into bringing their ideas to life. I often plan for weeks, sometimes months, and even a year, because which is it, in advance. And I'm grateful for every fashion moment those designers and their dresses have helped me create. So as always, don't believe everything you read and see online. I don't have any relationships with these sites. I'm not leaking my looks to anyone, and I don't support what these companies are doing. Okay, so she basically is speaking to Diet Prada and everybody who follows that, because it's like a thing. And she's answering them and saying there isn't, but clearly there is a mole of some sort. I think it's probably like Jonathan Cheban, and you know, that's it. Or it's Chris, honestly. She loves to make a buck. So I guess we're just going to see. I think we're going to write an article about this, do something on Betches.com. So everybody look out, and we're going to be following the story. So, all right, let's just move on. That was, I didn't mean to go on that rant, but I have another rant later. But first, we should talk about Orange County because, you know, still watching it. I'm still deep in.
Yeah. What are you up to?
Shannon Bedore has just walked into the room. And walked in with her marriage issues and loud.
This is the first season that she's in.
So, okay. So they got rid of Gretchen, Alexis, and who's the other one? Oh, and the little one.
Lydia?
She
comes back.
Lydia. And they got rid of one fell swoop in one season, at the end of the season, and they brought in Lizzie and Shannon. And yeah. I mean, it's fine.
I don't understand where David gets all his money from.
He made a business.
Construction business?
Yeah. You can make a lot
of
money.
Her house is so expensive.
That's her money. She has family money.
Oh.
She's really rich. Her family is very wealthy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he himself, and he made his, that's where she starts. He's like, he comes from like a blue collar family and I come from like wealth.
Right.
And so, but he has, but he's made his own money. Like fortune.
Right.
And so.
I like, what do you think of Shannon?
I like her because she's very honest about her feelings.
Right. She's not trying to pretend she has this like super perfect glamorous life.
She's almost unable to, like, she right. can't.
Yeah. Not, she's not even right. And I'm saying that almost makes her better, because she's not even like, she's not even being real, like, because she like wants to be known like I'm real. She's being real because like she just cannot act any other way.
Yeah,
because like, she like has so much anxiety,
which is why I think she and Heather don't get along at all, because Heather is the queen of hiding everything,
right, pretending that everything
is like everything is amazing. Like the last scene that I watched was she's talking to Terry and she was like, so I think we should get a dog, and
that was so funny when he calls her out on that. I remember
she's
that
she's like, I don't, you know, I think we both
we should make a donation.
We have both wanted a rescue dog, however you know, with my fake allergies and my kid's fake allergies, right, and the nanny's fake allergies, I think that maybe we should make a large donation, and then we'll get a you know. And then he interrupts her and he's like, so you wanna like guilt relief, like,
yeah.
And she's like, what are you, she like goes, she's like, you're gonna call me out. And I like Terry because he's like, he just literally doesn't give a shit, and you can always sense when she is full of shit and she's just talking out of her ass and just lying, and he's just sitting there just like looking at her and smiling because he needs to go with it,
right, because like, she's like annoying when she gets mad at him.
Yes, very annoying. It's so funny. But she's the opposite of Shannon. I don't like Shannon. And yeah, her problem's with her husband. And it's funny because Vicky chimes in and she's like, you got to stop chipping away at him, which is partially true. But he also doesn't really give her anything.
Right. I think they're not a good match
anymore or ever. Right,
whatever. Yeah.
Or whatever it is. Like he seems like he's already cheating on her.
Yeah. He's like checked out. You can tell he's like, kinda yeah, like, but I mean, like their relationship. It's I I think I talked about this like when I had fresh finished watching it, where it's like interesting to see her their lives like. 5 years of their lives condensed, like, for me into 1 month.
Yeah.
Because you really see, like, how, like, nothing is good or bad. It's all about these moments and these time periods in this marriage, which are either, like, sometimes, like, the next season, like, well, the next season gets worse. Oh. But then, like, it gets, like, they're doing so well and they do, like, the vow renewals and they're, like...
Oh, that's amazing. A bad sign.
Yeah, I know. It's a bad sign, but they actually do seem, like, he does seem, like, more, like, checked in. So it just kind of goes to show you that, like, marriages aren't good or bad. Relationships aren't good and bad. They have, like, these, like, times when things are... When you're in sync and times when you're not. And it's cool to be able to see that, like, in this super short period of time, because like you can't see it when it's happening because it's happening over such a long stretch of time that you can't really get any perspective over.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But that was my favorite part about rewatching The Real Housewives of Orange County.
It's very interesting, but I mean, Heather's just like off her rocker. I really don't like this Lizzie character. She brings me nothing.
She offers nothing. For too long.
She's like pretty and like whatever, but I don't care. And another husband who doesn't want his wife to work and is very open about it, which is also interesting.
Does she try to work? I don't
remember.
Yeah,
like she tries to work. She tries to have her swimsuit line. He's like, honestly, I'd rather have another baby than you have a successful swimsuit line. He says that out loud.
I mean, that's his preference. He can say his preference. Doesn't mean she has to listen to him. But like, if you're a man, I think you're allowed to have a preference. Maybe he like when he married her, he thought that was what he was getting into. I don't think it's bad for a man necessarily to be like, this is the kind of life that I want. I want to work and I want a wife that stays home. And that's like my preference.
I disagree because you're not marrying a woman who doesn't work. You're marrying a woman like you're marrying a person who is dynamic, who has the capacity to change, unless he thought he married some idiot.
Right. I think it could be a discussion, but it's just kind of, I think it's kind of like anything else. Like when you marry someone who they don't want kids and you're kind of like, well, like, I thought we agreed that we both didn't want kids. And then like now you're changing your mind. Yeah. Like she's allowed to change her mind.
Right.
But like maybe that doesn't work for him and maybe they're no longer going to be a match, which as we've Googled.
No, but I'm saying
they don't work out.
My point was that it's like another man. Like it's like seems to be. I mean, the show is called Real Housewives.
Yeah.
So like they're another man who feels that way. It's interesting to see because like nowadays in 2019, there's no one who would say that.
Well, it's not like socially acceptable to say that, but I'm sure there's still people who feel that. And I think there's nothing wrong with feeling that if that's like your preference for like how you want to live your life. But like obviously like if you're not adapting to like the times or adapting to the way that like,
I just it's so interesting to see how times change and what is socially acceptable to say out loud.
That's also very true, especially like, again watching everything in such close time proximity. You're like, wow, like even like 2 seasons ago did things that they said were not okay 2 seasons later.
Right. Like how Vicky would never say the word vagina, or she finds that word gross like many seasons ago.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now, and like fast forward to now, it's become socially acceptable to say that. And she like says many different things and the way she screams at Lori. Speaking of this, so this is like a last season when Lori comes on just to stir drama about
that was
Vicky.
So weird.
When
she
they
literally
went
came on
skiing
for that purpose.
In Canada. It was so, that was the best hour of television of my entire life.
That was amazing.
When she was screaming, I did not have sex with multiple partners. It was so
she, like, scares me.
It's so funny. She explodes and it's so funny because it's real.
Right.
Like she's truly like.
Do you think she had sex with multiple partners?
I don't think even it matters at this point.
I don't. Yeah. So I'm saying it kind of doesn't matter. But like I think she did. Like it's fine. I don't care. But like she kind of says she and Don had sort of an open relationship.
Yeah. She says
and
that
if she wanted to have like a threesome, like I don't care.
I'm owning it, Lori. I'm owning it. Like just drop it. She's like, Lori's just like, you cheated. And she's like, I know he cheated. Whatever. Why are you calling it out? Like, why are you unearthing this shit?
Right. That I wonder if Bravo like found her and asked her to come back and do this.
I think she went to Bravo. That's what Vicky said is like, you want fame back. You regret leaving and now you want it back. You made a good decision to leave because of the spotlight on your family and your son who is in and out of rehab.
And is now like convicted
on
like
murder. but yeah, I just, that was crazy to me, but it was so funny. Like that was good TV.
It was.
Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills, Denise Richards.
What do you think? What are your thoughts? How do you feel? It was so funny to hear them calling out winning.
She's like not comfortable on camera yet, I think. She seems like very awkward.
Well, it was the first episode.
I get it. It's also like kind of crazy. Like they obviously are going to do this because it's how everyone knows her. And like everyone's just talking about how they know Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy that he has HIV. Too. Yeah. Wild. I keep forgetting that. And then like, I'm like, and they bring back the winning stuff and like all that other.
Uh-huh.
Like.
It's, and then they show Lisa Rinna having like a scene with him sucking with her toes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. She used to be married to him a long time ago.
Right.
Then he had his like, then divorced for a while. Then he had his like
crazy
mental break, I guess.
And they were like fighting.
During the year of winning. I think that was like 2013.
It was 2011. I remember because I applied to be his intern.
No, you did not. Yes, I did. You're crazy.
I had nothing to do.
Oh, well, you could have had HIV.
So, are you surprised that in 2011 I would Charlie Sheen's intern?
No, yeah. So then later after that, then he had sex with multiple partners, and then he contracted HIV.
Yeah.
After all of that, remember he drank tiger blood.
Is it clear like when he contracted it?
It was definitely after. Yeah, it was after her.
They only like said it relatively recently, but I don't know like when they said he.
I think it was during his time of like being probably publicly,
he was like going on a crazy rampage.
Really crazy rampage. It was insane. I don't like. It's crazy that that was even happening.
And now Denise is on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills,
who apparently negotiated her. She's like the highest first housewife paid, which we're going to do trivia later about that. We're going
to play a fun game with that.
So what do you think of the season so far, this first episode?
I think it started off strong. I honestly like over the years have started to like really not like it because I think it's the same storyline every fucking year, which is like.
Do you think the fight with Kyle and Lisa is fake?
Oh, where they showed that in the beginning? Mm-hmm. It looked a little fake. But like, I think it's definitely, I think they have sort of
longstanding beef. Right.
Well, it comes with, I think in all these like Real Housewives franchises where there's two characters that are always kind of like fighting a little bit for the spotlight. And they would be competitive because they're on a show together.
Yeah.
They're like both competing for probably like ad endorsements, the most famous, most Instagram followers, all that other stuff to be like the most well-liked.
The richest.
Whatever, richest. Like, it makes sense. Like, it would be weird if they didn't compete almost because they were like in so many of the same.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? They're directly competing for the spotlight. That's really affects how much they're paid.
But they do well when two are best friends. Like,
I think it's kind of boring when they're friendly. I think this is actually a better move. I'm so much more interested in watching them fight than watching them like laugh at people on the side.
Well, yeah, I guess. But it's fun to watch them as friends for sure. Like, it's fun. Like, you want to be friends with them. It's exciting. Like, you want to be in on it. But the funny thing is, Kyle's whole shtick is that Lisa is harder on her than everyone else.
But it's because she thinks of her as more of a threat than anyone else.
Whereas Lisa's whole thing is that she always brings people under her wing, you know, like how she, like that guy, I forgot his name.
Lisa's like a little bit of a sociopath and she likes people as long as they need her.
Yeah.
So she doesn't like when Kyle becomes like too anything, like too independent, too strong, too whatever, too rich. It like doesn't. Then it starts to threaten her. Before that, she likes like being friends when she's like clearly the one on top. Doing better. Yeah.
It makes sense. It all makes sense. And then now that her brother passed away, she's starting to break a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, and show more emotion.
And that's why I think she did the whole thing where she was like, and you didn't come to my restaurant opening.
Yeah.
Like, because it's like she's kind of like implying that she didn't come because she like is not happy for her.
Yeah.
That she opened this new restaurant because she's probably not because they're both again like.
But the restaurant wasn't even open. It wasn't the opening.
Sure, especially as Vanderpump Rules has become more popular, Kyle gets like. You know what I mean? There's the swings of power have probably changed. Like how much pull they have at Bravo is probably like.
I think that probably different. Has a lot to do with it. Like which, the new housewives that they don't bring talk in. About.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't know. I mean. Right now, I think Kyle isn't speaking to Lisa, and like right now, real time.
Hmm.
So I don't know what's going to go down. I liked how they did that foreshadowing 2 months later thing. I'm pumped for that.
I wonder what happened. They got right into the drama with the. What did you think about the Dorit dog situation?
I thought that was ridiculous. Why couldn't you just bring it back?
Because she probably didn't want anyone to know.
Yeah, but It's crazy. I love that guy who works there who's like going off on it.
Right.
And like, it was really funny when they watched. She's like, this is the dog. Don't say anything. I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, no, I'm excited for this season. I think it's going
to
be good.
I'm surprised Zuri would even like pretend to get a rescue dog.
Right.
Right. She's like the most pretentious person in the world. Like, why? But at least Heather's like not getting one. Do
right,
you know what I mean?
Right, 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 right.
I think she's just kind of like dumb.
Who?
Dorit. Yeah, she just like she was is. Probably like, oh, I'll look good. Like, I'll like adopt this dog. Like, it'll look great for television. And then I'll just like get rid of it and no one will know.
Yeah, exactly. But it bit PK.
I'm sure like the dog's like probably bite. It's probably traumatized from whatever previous experience it's right. on. Like, it's kind of like saying like you got a foster child and they like were acting. They were like misbehaving. Like, of course they were. That's right. sort of like the thing that comes along with like being
right.
generous or like being like, you know, charitable and like doing something that's hard. It's easier yeah. to get a dog that hasn't been through anything. They're obviously going to be like yeah, nicer like and sweeter. Slate.
Well, okay, so this brings me to my thought. Like, okay, so there's a bunch of documentaries on Netflix. I have a whole thing about TV that I want to bring up these days. I've noticed. Let's hear it. Okay, so like, I got rid of my DVR, and
okay.
so I like watch anything I really want to watch. I watch on time, and
like for cable,
yeah, like okay. Housewives, I'll watch on time. Or if I don't have time, I'll watch it the next day on like my smart Hulu? TV, yeah, or like the Bravo on demand thing. Mm-hmm. Not an ad. So, so like these days, there's Amazon, Hulu, and Netflix are competing extremely intensely about who can deliver more content, like more, right. more content. And they're taking advantage, I feel like, of us, of this whole like true crime, like
you see
trend.
Hulu put out a Ted Bundy documentary.
No,
also?
I didn't see that.
I was just like browsing
this
it.
This is what I'm saying. The only, okay, so there, I feel like all of a sudden there is no such thing as good TV anymore.
Right. There's out too of, many options.
There's too many options. So
I agree.
Like the only
every movie that Netflix puts out is completely
bad.
Terrible. Is
it's
terrible.
So bad. The only thing that okay, so the only thing that I liked was the Fire Festival like duel.
Right.
That was like interesting. Those documentaries were interesting. The subject matter was good. But like I'm trying to watch a good documentary and I can't get through anything anymore. I watch one episode and I'm over it. Like The Staircase, I watch one episode. Right. I tried to watch Ted Bundy. I couldn't get through it. I watched that Lorena thing.
I have to say with Ted Bundy, it gets way better. The first episode sucks.
Okay. I tried to watch Lorena on Amazon. That? It's about the woman that chopped off her husband's penis.
Oh, Lorena Bobbitt.
Bobbitt, yeah. Okay. I watched that. Again, like it's all formulaic. And annoying. It's like, I know how right. this is going to end. They're not going to do. Everybody's trying to do Making a Murderer. Mm-hmm. And it can't happen. And I feel like there's just this. Like, I started watching that Russian Doll. And nothing is
that?
Good. Not
everything sucks. That's what I'm saying.
Everything sucks.
It's hard to tell what sucks the most. Because, like, there's so much stuff that it can't even be reviewed in, like, a
so
in a good way. I totally agree with you. There's too many options.
I'm craving good television. Or I'm craving to watch. Like, all we are is sitting around, like, looking for something to watch. And you know how it's going to end. Badly. Mm-hmm. Unless you like hear someone say something. So that's why I keep coming back to Housewives, because it's low risk. It's right. like I know exactly that this is going to
you know
be
exactly
good
what you're
no
getting.
Matter what.
Yeah.
Like I know it's going to be good.
And you're already also invested
exactly,
in the storyline.
Right. So that's why I keep coming back to it. That's why I don't have any shows DVR'd. I'm like, I'm not wasting my fucking time on stuff I don't care about. I don't watch like The Challenge anymore. I don't watch any of those shows.
I
barely even watch Vanderpump this season. I'm just like, I'm kind of over everything. But so I saw the show. So for Valentine's Day, Rusty took me to see To Kill a Mockingbird on Broadway. And it was written by Aaron Sorkin. And Jeff Daniels is the main character. And I absolutely loved it. It was one of those things. My phone was away. You can't pick up your phone. That's another thing. I go through. I can't sit through anything. I pick up my phone for 5 minutes right. and my Apple TV stalls because I've been off of it for too long. But so I'm watching this play and I'm like, this is quality. Like I haven't felt that way in a very long time. And I almost feel like we need to go back to curation. There needs to be something. Like something that curates the content for your personality, or you know what I mean?
Right. Well, there's too many options, and because it's so easy to put something out there now, there's so many channels that will like buy it or do it, and they're all competing. It just makes it so there's a lot more crap. Like, it used to be that if you wanted quality TV, you subscribed to HBO.
Yeah.
And every Sunday, there was, like, a good show that came out. And every Saturday, you'd look at what the new movie that they put out was. And that's what you fucking watched. Or you, like, went to Blockbuster.
And it was great. Right. And then you spent an hour in Blockbuster, still not really finding what you want to watch because it's all old stuff. But I don't know. I still love HBO. I think HBO has, like, a formula.
I don't think they are what they used to be, but I do think they still have some good stuff. Like, I think they're in a weird transition period now, having to compete with these other entities.
But I don't see them.
But they don't they don't release nearly as much shit as everyone else does.
But that's why that's good. It's a good thing. HBO, if anybody's listening, please don't. Yeah. So HBO has just been amazing. Like Game of Thrones. I don't know I've been watching True Detective this season. I really like it. But I feel like a lot of their shows, while they're a little bit slow,
is it good?
It's like cerebral.
Right.
And it's not necessarily just fucking like a formula. Which is what I hate. Like, formulaic content is the worst.
Right. I did really like Roma, and that is nominated for, like, an Oscar.
I tried to watch that for 1 second, and again, I got on my phone.
It starts off very slow. It's actually, again, it's not something that's going to be, like, wildly entertaining the whole time. You're not, like, on a joyride.
Right.
But, like, it's, like, very artistic. Like, if you can, like, manage to pay attention, it's very, like, there's subtitles, the entire thing. I also, like, related to the story, so I think I really liked it.
Yeah.
But...
I turned it on and then there was a dog right away and Sansa kept barking and I was like, I can't, this is so annoying. I turned it off.
Right. I just thought it was good. Like, as opposed to, like, there's no one, like, famous in it. It's very, you know what I mean? There's, like, a Mexican actress who's, like, the star of it, who looks like a real Mexican person.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're not like glamorized, like, right, Hollywood right. people pretending to be, like, do you know even, like, that Selena movie? I think, Jennifer Lopez, who's Puerto Rican, was, like, playing Selena, who's right. Mexican. They just, like, that's not what a Mexican person looks like. They just, like, don't.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
It was about the culture.
Right. It's like a real cultural, like, actual movie. It was good. It was great. I cried.
Okay. I want to watch. Okay. So maybe I'll watch it. I just need to put my phone in another room.
Pay attention. I think you'll like it. It's like very moving.
Well, so speaking of, Netflix released this documentary called Abducted in Plain Sight, which everybody's sort of talking about. And what's interesting about this documentary, which I won't give anything away, Jordan, you got to watch it.
Okay.
Is that.
I want to watch it.
Okay, what's interesting about it is that it's not a series. It's an hour and a half movie, right? Documentary.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which normal ones are. And instead of all of these that they're pushing. They're also, what Netflix is doing that's so annoying, is making series out of 1.5 hour shows. Like, everything is dragged. Like, Making a Murderer 2 was the biggest waste of time of my life.
Oh, yeah, I didn't finish that.
Every episode was the same. They could have just done the last two episodes and that would have been good.
Yeah, that was one of those annoying things that they clearly just dragged out for money. No one cared about it anymore.
So what was funny about Abducted in Plain Sight, within the first quarter of this documentary, I was like, what the fuck is going on? Who is, what is doing? I don't want to give anything away. We'll talk about
it. In a good way?
It's like at the end of it, you're just like, what did I just watch? Like, what is the story? It's wild. But it's one of those things where they could have used maybe a part one and a part two.
Okay.
It's like, it's interesting. It was the complete opposite. They crammed all of this crazy shit that happens to this one family. And I could have used a little bit more of an in-depth, like, please tell me more about that. Please tell me more about that. So it was, like, interesting because the opposite of, like, something like Making a Murderer 2. But anyway, we should talk about it another time. I'm sure everybody who's listening is just like, but talk about it.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'll check it out. We'll watch it next time. I watched Ted Bundy too, which was, like, again, we don't have to talk too much about it. It does get better. The first episode, I was like, I'm so bored. And then you kind of push through. And that's when, like, towards the end, it gets into the meat of it. It's just kind of crazy that in, like, the 70s, you could kill, like, 30 women across.
And,
like,
it's fine. And, like, you can't be caught.
And right. And it's just, like, so easy to get away with it. Just like, literally, like, breaking into, like, he also escaped prison twice. It's just, like, kind of nuts.
It's just nuts. And he left his cigarette butts everywhere. They had no DNA testing. And right. Yeah. And
it's,
it was
crazy.
Just,
like, that you could just kill that many people just, like, casually.
Right. There's no consequences. And no people, one could find you.
Right. And it's so hard between states to, like, so much harder to get away with murder now.
Well, good thing.
Yeah. So what's the glory days?
Yeah, let's go back to the glory. So if anybody, like, if you guys agree with us, let us know. Email us slapdipbetches.com. Do you also feel overwhelmed with the, like, content? Because I really do. And I'm going to, like, stop watching everything altogether.
Yeah, well, now you need, like, a friend. You need, like, a strong referral. Like you just said, the Abducted in Plain Sight thing. Like, now I'm going
to
watch it.
Someone told me to watch
it. I need it vetted by a person that I know very well.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, so we're going to take a quick break.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back to do some emails. And then we're going to do some games later, which have to do with Real Housewives salaries. So stay tuned.
So guys, today we're sponsored by Third Love. I have a Third Love bra. I love it. The fit is like perfect because they have half cup sizes. Mm-hmm. And it's just like super convenient, really easy way to get quality bras delivered to your door.
Especially because most people don't actually know their size, myself included. You know, like I fluctuate and I don't really know my size. So they have a fit finder quiz and it like finds your perfect fit within 60 seconds. Cause it's not about just like the number with the letter. It's about the shape of what your breasts look like. And it's actually a really fun quiz. And I think that you should do it. And it's I figured out that I actually wasn't the size that I thought I was. And it makes a difference. Like you, like even though two sizes are equal, one might benefit your body shape better than the other.
Exactly, because everyone has a different shape.
Yeah, and I honestly just placed a second order for another bra. I got a strapless, and I'm really excited about it because I truly trust this company. And they have 60 days guarantee. So like you have 60 days to wear it. If it doesn't actually work for you, you can return it. And returns and exchanges are free and easy.
So Third Love knows that there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering our listeners 15% off their first order. Go to thirdlove.com/betch now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/betch for 15% off today.
Dear Betches,
I just have a lot of feelings.
All right, we're back.
Okay.
I'll read the first email.
Yeah.
Dear Betches, I keep running into the same problem where I seem to be the difficult betch of the friend group. A group of four friends and I decided to make a trip to Nashville this spring. I suggested a random weekend instead of Memorial Day due to cost/limited rooms, and they still chose to go with Memorial Day, even if I couldn't go because it works better for their work schedules. I think that's fair. I agreed to go then because I was trying to be less difficult. When I asked about the hotel, I found myself in the same situation as I have for every other tentative girls trip. The hotel they found has horrible reviews about the area for drugs being solicited outside, no hot water, really, and mold. They want to do this hotel because it comes out to $20 per person a night. I don't even want to go if we're going to stay at this motel.
Fair, I agree.
I even offered to pay the difference for a nicer hotel, and they didn't want to find anything else. Am I being too difficult? Should I just suck it up and go and cringe every time I take a shower or get in bed? This friend group tends to leave me out of plans often, and I'm beginning to wonder if we just need to part ways, but I always wonder if I'm making too big of a deal out of the small things, and that's why they neglect to invite me places. This isn't the first time where my schedule/opinion for a trip was ignored and I wasn't able to go, so this leaves me wondering, am I the problem? Sincerely, annoying friend brush. Is this Heather Dubrow?
The thing about the hotel for $20 a night, like I would freak out.
Right. But you, I mean, like you have to remember though.
But also when I was younger, I wouldn't freak out.
Right. Everyone has their different standards and everyone's like entitled to them. I think it's kind of like the kind of thing where it's like to them, like it's not worth spending the more money to have a nicer place. You offering is not something that, here's the thing about offering. It's nice, but like you're not realistically going to let someone pay the difference. Like it's awkward to like even
right.
really do that.
And I think there might be something that's unsaid here that maybe the way that you go probably maybe about certain things, just like knowing some, it's like maybe it's a little bit, maybe you're from your perspective, your intentions are good, but maybe the way that you go about changing things doesn't, it's like annoying. Like they put in all this work and now
right.
you're coming in after suggesting something new. They're like, well, no, like you plan it then.
Right.
You know what I mean? Then you come up with, you do yeah. the trip. You like say like, I want to go to Nashville this spring. I'm going to make it so that you guys plan, or maybe the next trip you suggest you plan. Like
they probably don't want her to plan because they're going to have to spend so much more money. Like we all have a friend who plans things that are very expensive.
Right.
And then you wind up like having to pay for that. It's kind of, here's the thing. It's like if you plan as the planner, you kind of get to pick like the amount, the kind of trip this is going to be. Right. So they probably don't want her to plan it. Because they're like, I don't want to spend all this money.
Well, then they don't have to go.
I think you should find friends to travel with who want to travel the way you like to travel.
I agree.
And I get that's easier said than done because it's not like there's like a million people out there who you feel comfortable enough traveling with. But here's the thing.
Or it's just like, choose one or two of them.
Right.
And say like, I'm looking to go on this type of trip. Let me know if anybody wants to come and maybe they'll be interested. Or like you can say it far in advance so that people can save their money, or just wait a year or two and everyone will be on your page.
Or more likely to be.
More likely to be, because the older you get, the less comfortable you are with like shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
The lower bar,
like,
you have.
We used to go to Montauk all the time, or Fire Island. We used to go to... And it was disgusting. Like, 17
people in a room.
Like, who knows if they... Nobody even thought about the idea that there might be, like, bed bugs. Like, but we just didn't care. We just slept in the beds. Didn't give a shit. It was just a place to sleep between partying. Like, it wasn't even... Yeah. It wasn't, like, about the... Like, nobody even cared if they showered or didn't. Like, people drunk showered. Like...
Yeah, that's why the older you get, the harder it is to really... Also, it's also harder to plan trips with, like, a lot of people the older you get, because again, everyone, like, becomes a little bit more set in their ways and wants, like, a certain type of trip, and it doesn't necessarily work out where everyone's gonna be on the same page. So, like, my advice is either find someone who likes to travel the way you do, or if majority likes to travel different, like, and cheaper, you might have to just go with that if you want to do these trips.
If you want to go, but at the end of the day, you just, like, it's your decision of whether or not you want to go. Should we do one more? Let's do the next
one. Let's do it.
Hey, betches. First off, your podcasts are the only thing that make my half-hour commute possible. Having so many to choose from makes sure my road rage is kept to a minimum. That being said, I have an issue that I need to resolve fast. I'm a first-year law student, and I've been working my hardest to have a GPA high enough to be eligible for a big law firm's summer associate positions. Long story short, since I'm a part-time student, everyone keeps telling me there was no way I was getting one of these positions, even though I'm transitioning to a full-time student and still graduating in 3 years. For the first couple of weeks this semester, I was stressing about what I was doing this summer because I didn't have anything lined up. A friend recommended me for a small firm in the suburbs, and I figured a job is a job. I accepted their offer, but then literally the next day I had a network opportunity that resulted in an interview at a big law firm in the city for a summer position. To my surprise, they just offered me their summer associate position, which is great, and I want to accept. I want to take advantage of this opportunity at the big firm, since if I do a good job, I'm basically guaranteed a job after graduating. Also, I am a broke law student that really can't pass up a significant pay increase. The problem is, I just started with a small law firm in the suburbs literally a month ago. How do I tell my new bosses that I'm leaving in May when they've been so generous and hired me thinking I might eventually work there after graduating? They've also had negative stories to tell me about big law firms, which may cause some tension now that that's where I will be working. Typically, I wouldn't give notice until a couple weeks before I was leaving, but one of the big law firm partners recruiters knows my current boss. Also, they know how the summer associate jobs work, and that usually you know where you will be working a few months before you start. Any advice on what I should do or how to feel less guilty about the decision I've made? Thank you so much, Elle Woods in training. Ooh, that was mouthful.
So, to summarize, she got a job at this smaller law firm interning, right? But she got a job offer after that to be a bigger law firm.
She didn't think she was going to get it. She got it.
Right.
So she wants it more. Right. And it's a pay increase.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing is that, like, none of this is, like, personal, right? Like, business is, like, a business. And, like, if you need more money and you've got loans to pay and you have things like that, that's, like, a priority of yours. And people understand that as long as you tell them in, like, a respectful way.
Yeah.
And let them know that, like, you appreciate, like, them giving you a chance and hiring you. And who knows, you might want to come. Honestly, like, working at a big law firm, from what I've heard, does really suck. But you know what? They pay really well. So you can say, like, I understand, like, this might not be the best move for me long term.
With my decision, right. But I want to at least give it a try. Right.
I really need, like, honestly, I really need, like, I need the money, and I need to, like, and I need to try it. And, like, I appreciate everything you've done. And, like, honestly, like, I had such a great time working here, and I would love to, like,
keep in touch. I agree with you. I think it's not personal to an extent. I mean, it's business, but again, like, the personal part is how respectful you are when you relay the message. So, like, if you're just like, fuck you, I'm out, and that's personal, because you
give as much notice as you can.
Yes. So I think you should give all the notice, as much notice as possible. Again, the key is to saying, thank you so much for taking a chance on me. And it's not, it doesn't go unnoticed. I can't believe, like, that you would even take a chance.
I had such a great time.
Yeah. And
learned so much here.
At the end of the day, I need to do what's best for me right now. And I need a larger salary, and this is an opportunity that I can't say no to.
Right.
And don't give them too many details. I think that if you're telling a boss who owns a law firm, it can become personal. If you're saying, it's a better stepping stone for my career Don't say that.
I wouldn't say that.
But I'm saying that's right. In the in that's where it could become personal, because then boss is like, fuck you. Like, I'm
right. Not, you don't think this is important, this isn't enough, important for you? Enough for I think you? It's more yeah. like, listen, like, I would love to stay here. Honestly, like, I have a lot of loans. I really need.
I don't think you even need to go there.
Just right, I'm just like, saying you could say like is, it's honestly like this is like if the compensation it's a money thing, like if the say. Compensation were equal, I would love to stay here.
Yeah, but
I love
no, being I don't here. Think that that's true though. What if they do offer her equal and compensation?
I think she could take it. She needs the money. That's why she said she wants to. No, pay. I think she can't pass up the significant pay increase. Well, yeah. every lawyer I know that works at a big corporate law firm would much prefer to work at a smaller law firm like the one you're interning
and
at
make as much money
if they could make as much money. It's not fun. You're not gonna have the same kind of job working at the small law firm. Right. You're gonna have to work very, very, very hard.
Yeah, very it's, long
and
hours.
Like very long hours. And but you will make more money. So like if that is what is important to you, and that is what you need the money, then like that's something that you're gonna have to do. It doesn't mean you have to do it forever.
Yeah,
just and I think that's what I'm saying.
It's
I think
a money thing.
That's what I'm saying. I think it is a money thing. I think like they'll be aware of that. They know like where they are on like the landscape of like mm-hmm. they know you're not gonna have as like nice of a time there. But that's just sort of how like corporate law works. So I think you can say like, thanks so much for this opportunity. Like, I would love to keep working here. Honestly, like I enjoy XYZ about working here. It's been like so great. I've learned
some compliment sandwich.
Right. I've learned so much. But like, honestly, like the pay. And that I think that's fine to mention the right. pay, because that is why you're leaving. Like, that's not like a.
Right.
And that's not even like, you know what I mean? If someone left our job to make a crazy, crazy amount of like, I got an amazing opportunity that we couldn't give them. I wouldn't take it personally.
No, I wouldn't right. either.
Yeah.
But what I was saying was that like, you don't need to go so deep into an explanation. Right. You could just be like, this is a career move I need to make. I thank you for the opportunity. I don't think you need to start going and, you know, over right. and over about.
But I'm saying you can keep it like definitely keep it friendly so that you can come back if you need to.
Right. Especially if the boss like knows the other boss.
Right. Okay, let's play some games. We'll be right back.
As many of you might already know, Aileen and I are huge fans of therapy.
Big therapy.
Love the therapy. But as you all know, therapy can be expensive. It can be hard to schedule. If you work 9 to 5, it's hard to get one of those, you know, like night or early morning slots.
And it's also like an emotional experience. You have to be physically like mentally, emotionally ready to speak to someone. And it's sometimes like a little bit daunting.
Absolutely. So we want to talk to you guys about an option that can really help you if maybe you're not looking to take that plunge into going into in-person sessions. It's called BetterHelp. BetterHelp is a service that helps you connect with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment, making it super convenient. You can get help on your own time and at your own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. They have BetterHelp has therapists who are specialized in all sorts of issues that all of us deal with and
everything.
Just struggle with, whether it's depression, stress, anxiety, relationship issues, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, and self-esteem. Which and it, I have like all these problems, not all of them, but many.
And also, just a reminder, you don't need to have like severe trauma or severe depression to have to want to seek therapy. It just, we always say that it's always better to improve yourself or just be on a journey of improvement, and therapy can really get you there. And if you don't want to commit to having like a therapist that you go see in person, this is an amazing option for you, because everything you share is confidential and you can try a different therapist. If you don't like the one that is assigned to you or you choose, then you can seek someone else. And they have so many different therapists. There's 3,000 US licensed therapists across all 50 states. It's available worldwide, and you can talk to them text, you can chat on the phone, you can video chat, and you can set it up in under like a whole 24 hours. It's honestly amazing.
One of the things I think is really also great about it, other than the fact that it's like both secure and convenient, is that it is affordable. And even if you can't necessarily even afford to add anything to your expensive, they do have financial aid available for those who qualify. So I think it's definitely worth exploring.
If this is something that you're interested, definitely, definitely explore it. At least go look it up. So, and the best of all, Betch Slapped listeners are getting 10% off of their first month with discount code SLAPPED. So why not just try it? Go today. Go to betterhelp.com/slapped. All you do is you simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll absolutely love. That's betterhelp.com/slapped. Okay, let's play some games. Okay, we have flashcards, trivia.
All right, should we divide turns? Or okay.
Yeah, should we? We'll just take turns.
Okay. Wanna go first?
Okay. Yeah. Who makes more, Kyle Richards or Lisa Vanderpump? Oh, this is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills themed trivia. Who makes more money?
Who makes more money from the show?
Unclear. I think from the show. Kyle or Lisa? I think
Lisa makes more money from the show.
No, I don't think Kyle makes more money anywhere else.
I think Kyle like is richer.
Well, because her husband makes money. Lisa.
Ooh.
She's reportedly paid around $1 million per season, while Kyle's salary is alleged only about half that.
Ooh.
Yeah, that makes sense. Lisa also has another show.
Kyle also never starts any fucking drama. She just cries all the time.
Okay, don't show me the back.
Okay. Who was the first housewife to get paid $1 million for a single season?
Oh, well, we know this. Denise Richards.
No.
What?
NeNe Leakes.
For a season.
NeNe Leakes, when she returned to Real Housewives of Atlanta in season 6, she became the first housewife to sign a $1 million single season contract. NeNe is also the highest paid current housewife, making $2.7 million for the most recent season.
Oh, shit.
What a great gig.
Also, I guess to clarify, this isn't a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills trivia. This is just housewife salary trivia. Yes. Okay. How much was Bethany paid for season one of Real Housewives of New York? Season one.
$25,000.
I feel like nothing. Yeah.
I think 25.
For the whole season. I think 25,000. Yeah. Okay.
This was also like 2000.
For season one, Bethany made $7,250. Oh. She now makes more than, guess how much she makes more than per season?
$1 million.
1.5.
Wow.
More than 1.5. That's pretty amazing.
She made how much? 7,000?
She made 7,250.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even like real show.
She didn't have a job,
and the show—they didn't even know the show was going to do well. I'm not surprised.
Well, they were gonna. They hoped it would because OC was out.
Oh yeah,
but she was a no one.
Yeah,
she was like Jill Zarin's lackey.
Wow, 7,000.
Yeah, that's pretty.
It's a very interesting one.
A pay increase.
Who makes more, Denise Richards on Beverly Hills or Cynthia Bailey on Atlanta?
Wait, say it again.
Who makes more, Denise Richards on Beverly Hills or Cynthia Bailey on Atlanta?
Denise.
Cynthia Bailey.
Oh my God, I don't know anything.
I thought Denise made like had some sort of crazy contract. She reportedly made $1.7 million for her most recent season, while Denise Richards is getting $1 million for her first season. I think it's like she got the most for her starting season.
Her first season,
right, yeah.
She had the highest starting salary because she's a known.
Yeah.
Okay, next. On the upcoming season of Orange County, OG Vicky Gunvalson is allegedly taking a pay cut and being demoted to friend of the housewives. If she who would be the highest paid OC housewife if she left?
Tamara.
Yeah, I think Tamara. Tamara Judge, yeah.
Okay.
I can't believe she's going to be demoted to friend.
She must be starting a lot of shit. Which Beverly Hills housewife is paid more for their first season on the show, Eileen Davidson or Lisa Rinna?
Rinna.
Eileen.
Oh, I was about to change my mind.
She made $750,000 for her first season, which was a record for a new housewives at the time. She was already a big soap opera star.
She's on a soap opera.
And I think for the moms who watched, she was probably a big pull. Lisa Rinna made $450,000 for her first season.
That makes sense to me because I changed my mind because I forgot she was a current show star. Right.
She's not someone we watch, but I feel like for that middle-aged demo, they probably loved her.
In which city did the cast allegedly agree to shoot season two for free so that Bravo wouldn't cancel their show?
Dallas.
I was about to say, it's got to be Dallas. Dallas. Season one was originally meant to be a different non-Housewives reality show, so the ladies wanted to prove to Bravo that they could bring it for season two. Do you watch it? You said you do.
I do. I didn't watch the first season because I heard it was terrible.
And then I didn't like it.
Rank the current Real Housewives of New York cast from lowest to highest paid.
Oh, fun. Okay. Lowest to highest paid. The current ones?
Yes.
Can you tell me who they are? Give me not order.
Okay,
so you have Ramona. You have Countess. You have Beth.
There's five of them, I think.
Dorinda. And
or like six of them.
Dorinda.
But two of them are tied.
Wait, who's another one?
Say it again.
Bethany.
Okay.
Dorinda,
okay.
Ramona.
Okay.
I'm not doing it in order.
Right.
Luann. Who am I missing?
There's two more.
Who am I missing? Oh.
Sonia and Tinsley.
Sonia and Tinsley. Okay. Lowest paid is Tinsley.
Yes.
Okay. Next. So there's Luann. I think that Ooh, Bethany or Ramona is the highest paid. One or the other. I think Bethany is the highest paid.
Yes.
Okay. Then I think second highest paid is Ramona.
Yes.
Then I think it's Luann.
It's a tie.
Luann and Sonia are a tie?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow, and, you're good.
Okay, because I figure like it has to be about who's been around the longest plus like who's good, who's wow. a good negotiator.
You got that all right. Yes. Very impressive.
That was a
so Dorinda is right after she's the second lowest
yeah,
paid.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Dorinda's wow. after
Very
Kinsley.
Impressive.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad my brains have gone to something important.
That was so much fun. If you guys like this game, let us know. slapped@betches.com. If you have an email you want us to answer, slapped@betches.com. And thanks so much for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. Email us. Bye.